Good morning, everybody. This is the KFBK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, the story of the week, and for that matter, this spring has been the wind. It has just been brutal. It's the kind of fishing that you have to sneak out if you think it's going to drop off just a little bit. And in the valley, of course, has been extremely windy the last couple of days. Along the ocean, yesterday afternoon, there was a sustained wind of 35 miles an hour, 35 knots in Monterey Bay and up in Fort Bragg, up past Eureka, Trinidad, 35 to 40 knots sustained wind. So nobody's going to be out there unless you're totally crazy. So anyway, fishing, you know, we have reports, and you know what? They're pretty good reports on those rare times the boats can sneak out and get a few hours of fishing in. And I'm literally from Monterey clear up to Fort Bragg and above. And all the stories that you can get out and go get a few salmon, come back in. It seems like there's numbers of salmon are there, and they're just teasing us because they know we can't get at them. So there's one for the salmon. And the same with the rockfish. Water temperatures are really strange. Up north in Fort Bragg, you have water temperatures of like 53 degrees. In Monterey, where you'd think it would be warmer, it's like 49 degrees. Now, that's 49 is a little cold for both species, the rockfish and the salmon. 53 is just almost perfect for salmon, and the same for rockfish. So I don't know how that works unless that wind is blowing off the Japanese current, which runs up the coast of California and pushes some of that to warmer water inland. So, you know, it's just a guess, but it's fascinating to look at that. The bottom line is, though, these sustained north winds, northwest winds in the ocean are absolutely essential for the upwelling we talk about. And it brings nutrients to the surface. It creates nutrients for the whole ecosystem. And when we get a lot of wind, when it finally dies, I'll tell you, the fishing is really good. It's like a boost in the fishing. It's a boost for the future generations of fish. It's just, everything's a good thing. So if we can find a little good in the bad, there it is for you. But we will have reports up and down the coast. In the meantime, the halibut fishing, a lot of people, let's see, I can get off Thursday. We'll go down and go halibut fishing. Well, you've got to check the tides, because when you get the maximum tides down there, your window of opportunity to catch halibut is almost zilch. You've got to be right at the turn of the tide where the current's the slowest. It doesn't last very long during the big tides, and after that, you're just fooling yourself. You got to get real lucky, so keep that in mind in the future. Good news. Yesterday was the first day that live bait was available in the bay, Pier 45 over by Fisherman's Wharf. We finally have live bait in the bay. We should have it from here on out. The problem with it is it was windy. So I don't know what kind of reports we're going to have from yesterday, but at least we know the live bait is there, and that is a very good thing, because I can't ever remember going this long without the live bait. But what's really fascinating is how well the halibut fishermen have done trolling tray bait, which is well-preserved anchovies and herring, and with or without a dodger, and just a slow trolling in the bay, all over the bay. I mean, they have really done a great job. Halibut fishing been the best year I've ever seen, I think, with or without live bait, but especially without live bait. So we'll get reports there. We'll be all over the place today. Kokanee fishing up at Stampede just continues to be red hot, and the fish are, they're sneaking up to that 14 and a half inch level. They're going to be 16-inch fish there before the summer's over. That's kind of that special length for kokanee where they really get some shoulders on them. They fight like crazy. Really a great game fish. So we'll get a report there. We'll get a report from Berryessa. We'll get a report from New Melones. So, and Bullard's Bar. So kokanee is just is going pretty good. Pardee, very, very small fish. Nobody's fishing kokanee there. So anyway, the streams up in the Sierra, depending on where you are, expect some runoff from snow melt. We'll get a report from Jim Johnson up on the North Fork of the Yuba River. That's running about 2,000 feet per second. That's pretty high. That is a somewhat of a raging river that you can still fish if you have bait, and you can fish to pockets, because the fish are not out in the middle of that raging river. They're in the protected pockets, at least as protected. Same is true with Markleyville. They had an increase in water flow this week from up on Ebbets Pass, and it's too bad because the Department of Fish and Wildlife dumped a whole bunch of fish in both the East and West Carsons this week. So if you feel like pocket fishing on the East Fork, and that might have dropped down a little bit by now, I just don't know. I mean, a couple of days ago, it was up there quite a bit, but the West Fork is always fishable. Okay, so we have things like that. Lake Almanor, like every place, has been plagued by the winds, but they're still catching fish when they get out. I got a hold of John Crotty yesterday. They literally got blown off the water. Yep, they got out, they got three fish, and then they just got blown out. But he got out a couple times earlier, and they have, you know, anywhere from six to seven fish, maybe eight fish. And these are all really nice, really nice sized rainbows, 2 to 3.5 pounds, an occasional salmon in the mix there. And speaking of salmon, before the program's over, we will tell you the real story why the Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't plant the salmon in Lake Oroville in the fall, which creates wonderful fishing over the years, and why they do plant them in the spring, and how we can look forward a couple of years down the road to returning to fall plants. We'll have details there. And we'll have more details about the plant that they've made last week. Remember, we said they've made an effort to get out in the shocking boats, the boats they use to shock fish for studies, because they have large tanks on those boats. So they put the baby and salmon in there and then spread out all over the lake and planted them in water at least 100 feet deep, so they could escape, have more time to escape the predatory fish like the bass and the spotted bass. So there's more to that story as well. Okay. Over at Berryessa, the kokanee do not want to produce in numbers. It's just hard to get numbers. And it may be that way for the year, but it looks like the fish are really, really increasing in size. Last week, I was kidding Nate Kelch. I said, hey, if you get a big one, text me before the program's over. Because he was convinced it was going to go off. And so he didn't do it during the program, but later on Saturday morning, he sent me a picture of a 16 3/4 inch kokanee, and I think he got a couple at 17 this week. And the good news, they got a couple of king salmon this week. So we'll get a report from Nate, as well as trout, by the way. We'll talk about shad fishing in the American. I noticed that the temperature snuck up about a degree and a half in the American River with this warm weather. I expect it to be more. And once that happens, that fishing will improve. We did see indication, you know, a lot of the fishermen have been out and they went to the small males and then graduated up to the larger females. Now there's a bunch of small males again, indicating a new run of fish, because the males always come in first, followed by the females. So we'll do that. We'll check with Don Paganelli. He fished Berryessa this week. And, of course, he had to cancel a couple days because of the wind. But good news for all the fishing in the city lakes. He went with the department yesterday when they planted multiple city lakes with catfish, and I mean sometimes trophy catfish. There is a program today out at Mather. We'll tell you about that. There's a bunch of other stuff. We'll get you updated on Forest Service campgrounds at Eagle Lake for next week's opener. Anyway, the whole work's coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFBK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here. Sometimes Murphy's Law just kind of hangs over our heads, and yesterday was one of those days because the Bay Area folks have been waiting for a long time, it seems, for live bait to be available, and they've really compensated well by having some of the best halibut fishing with or without live bait. They figured it out, and then they finally get live bait when the wind's blowing a million miles an hour. So Murphy's Law is alive and well, and here to tell us about it is Andy Giuliano. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing with the wind down there?
It's beautiful this morning here. We had yesterday inside the bay there was pretty nice until the traditional wind in the afternoon, but yeah. Nothing like you guys are getting with what we would call offshore, or that warm north wind. But
I was looking at an app yesterday, and you are right in the middle. Even though you'd have to call it breezy down there yesterday morning, it was howling outside the gate and howling in the valley, and you kind of had this little oasis in the middle.
Yeah, we call it the banana belt. Yeah, offshore the weather was poor for the salmon guys all week here, but for the most part during the week, it was real good fishing. To backtrack a second, I do think, and you mentioned there at the intro there, last weekend you may have been, if it wasn't the best stretch, 3 or 4 or 5 days there, but we had every boat had limits. The half-day boats had limits of halibut. We're tied up, a half-day boat tied up early with limits of halibut. It was just remarkable. And then as the week went on, the fishing fell off a little bit, one to two and a half fish a rod. That was primarily due to the tides. There's just a phenomenal amount of halibut in the bay here right now. With the bait that came in yesterday, the guy said the quality was real good, and gave the boats a chance to start spreading out, fishing some deeper areas. And I think you'll see some bass probably pop up in the counts here in the next week.
Well, that's good if the quality was good, because usually we start off with the smaller anchovies, pinheads and stuff, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I talked to one of the captains. He said real good quality bait, and it'll take a few days here as they get it stored up. It'll cure, and you'll have a lot of the weak or the dead, the weaker ones fall off there, and the bait will improve as we go here through the season. But hopefully we're set up here to go all the way through the into the fall here with a good supply of bait from the guys.
Good. Well, that is good news. And is there just going to be the one receiver there, the receivers in Pier 45?
Yeah, that'll be it. I think they have 8 pens, maybe 6 or 8 pens, mm-hmm. that they'll be able to go through. The part of not to get into too much detail, but they did upgrade the boat, and they're fishing a bigger boat that should allow them to keep a better supply of bait on a regular basis there. That was the kind of the whole concept there, and then they got caught up in the supply chain issues and a few other hiccups, but they worked full, pretty much 24 hours a day here the last week to get ready to go. We're happy with that. And
That's as far as water quality. That's going to be your best water quality to keep those anchovies over a period of time anyway, right?
Yeah, that traditionally for 40 years, that's been the best spot there. Berkeley has had their operation there that's no longer in existence, and that would work. And everybody had the problem, with the exception of San Francisco, in the fall, as we got into October or August, September, and into October, when the water got warm, the tides got small, and they just didn't get the circulation. But San Francisco has always kind of been the number one pole setter there for good quality bait for us.
Yeah. Well, that is good news. Do you have any idea what they're selling it for now?
Prices haven't changed, if you can imagine that. That was great news. I think a half scoop Half scoop is $35, and a full scoop, full big generous scoop, is $55.
Okay.
So for
That's
most of
maybe
your
up.
skiffs, you can fish two, three, four guys with a half scoop there, split it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to go out with two of us, and a half scoop just was overwhelming even.
Yeah, plenty of bait for
yeah.
to go through any time. And you do need a good supply of bait right now because there still is an amazing amount of short fish, you know, just short, 21 inches, 20 inches. So you're going to go through a lot of bait. You're going to get two, three, four short fish for every one keeper that you get, maybe
Yeah.
more in some spots, yeah.
That's good. That's our future down there with halibut.
Yes, it is. It's good to see that fishery is as robust as any in the Bay Area here.
Sure, sure. Now, were the boats able at all to sneak out for salmon, get around the corner at all?
Very little. Only the hardiest of the hardiest did, and the fishing was kind of tough. They would get up there in the morning, get a few fish in the morning up on the Marin Coast, and then they have to backtrack back in. So it was pretty much a zero for the salmon fleet
yeah.
during the week. It does look like the boats are going to get out here in the next day or two. And then the middle part of the week, the weather swings around. We get a little southerly wind as the temperatures come down. And middle part of the week to the end of the week, the weather forecast looks good offshore.
Okay. Of course, they don't like the southerly wind either.
But it beats the heck out of 35 knots out of the northwest.
Yeah,
But it is a change. What's good about it is it does change the pattern around and drops that northwest. You lose the swell. And then the guys will be able to get out there maybe Thursday or Friday for sure.
You know, I mentioned a little bit ago when we started the program that try to find a little good in this north wind, this northwest wind, because that is critical for the health of the ocean and the upwelling, and for all the harm it does to your efforts to get out now, it does much better good for the entire ecosystem in the ocean.
Yeah, that's correct. It does turn the water over. We get an upwelling current, and we have had great ocean conditions all season, and it's just that'll continue on with this weather. But you're right. You know, we all want to go fishing. We want to have good fishing, but this is nature's way of taking care of what's out there right now. So it'll be in time. By the time we get here, we'll go another 10 days here for salmon, and then the guys will mix it up a little bit with some coastal rock cod and some
sure.
bay halibut and bass, and then we'll get started up here on June 23rd for salmon, and I think you can expect a really good summer.
Plus, you may have a little bit more company because the salmon season up in the Klamath Zone closes the same day yours does, but doesn't open for 2 months. So you're going to have a few extra people trying to climb on those boats.
Yeah, it's in the commercial season is pretty restrictive around here, in the San Francisco management area too. So we won't have quite the commercial traffic that we've had in the past. But you know, we went to a 20-inch size limit here in the last week, and it really hasn't mattered. The quality of the fish has been exceptional, and so that's good news too.
You know, what little reports I've had up and down the coast, you know, Chris down at Monterey, he says, hey, we get out in the bay and we get a few salmon. But then, you know, we're limited in where we can go. And then reports out of Fort Bragg, you know, they had pretty much the same problem as you did. But, you know, you can fish almost immediately out of the harbor there. And the boats that did that, they found some salmon, the same up at Crescent City and Trinidad, and so they couldn't stay out, but you know, if give me a couple of hours, and a lot of them ended up with limits. So that's good for the overall situation along the entire Northern California coast.
Yeah, for as much as challenges we've had with the weather, I would say when we have been fishing all the way up and down the coast, it's been really encouraging sign. So I think as we get into the summer here, May is always a tough month up and down the coast. It's the coldest month inside
yeah.
the bay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
May in the bay is the cold month, but
yeah.
we'll get rolling here as we get in the summer.
Andy, thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
All righty, Bob. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. Let me give you Andy Giuliano's number at Fish Emeryville to book a trip. It looks like we're going to be able to get out this week. Area code 510-652-3403. And usually when this north wind pattern starts to subside a little bit, it may be windy in certain parts of the bay, but not that sustained wind. You can usually get out of it. You know, you can go over to Paradise Cay on one end, or maybe down by Candlestick Point for another one, depending on which way the wind's blowing. So there's places you can go. You can sneak in behind Angel Island if you want. There's a good drift there. And if it is coming from the north, you might check the mouth or Richardson Bay. All those are possible halibut spots. Well, we mentioned that there was a smattering of fish taken up and down the coast. And I talked to Richard Thornton of Anchor Charters up in Fort Bragg about just that. Richard, I can only imagine what the wind's like over there. I don't even think you could fly a kite. It's too windy. When was the last time you got out?
We got out last weekend for some rockfish and lingcod trips, but it's pretty much been blown out ever since.
How was the fishing when you did get out?
It was great. The rockfish were biting. We're getting quite a few lingcod, you know, probably up to 15 pounds or so,
yeah.
Averaging eight or 10 pounds.
So do you happen to recall what the water temperature was last weekend?
It was 53 degrees, if I remember right.
That's amazing. How can it be a 53 at Fort Bragg and 49 in Monterey?
it was nice, really clear water, too. But there was some salmon around.
Yeah, and there was salmon. So what'd you hear from the other skiffs and party boats?
The sport boats were doing really well. I don't know. I didn't hear about anything else, but the sport boats were doing good. I know of a couple boats that had six fish and were back, you know, within an hour or two.
Wow, that's good. So that was a report a couple weeks ago. It seems like the salmon are there, and they're just teasing you because you just can't get out to get them.
Yeah, hopefully it calms down this week.
Okay, so you got a forecast that takes the wind through the weekend. How much past that can we depend on for a forecast? What's it show?
It's pretty tough, but it looks like starting Tuesday we'll be able to get back out there.
Okay, and if that's the case, with that water temperature, maybe a little salmon water will move in, a little brown water, who knows what.
Yeah.
But everything's primed to go, Richard. I mean, are you getting people coming into the area even though they can't fish?
Yeah, there's a lot of people here. Unfortunately, we had full loads for the whole weekend that we had to turn away due to the weather.
Boy, there's a chunk of change, huh? Well, anyway, invest in sturdy kite building and have a good week, and I'll talk to you next weekend. We'll get caught up.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That's Richard Thornton, Anchor Charters, to book a trip, 707-964-4550. Looks like there's fish there. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, this happened when they first opened on May 1st. And they got out and there was fish there. Then the weather kicked up like it usually does at Fort Bragg. Usually you have different weather patterns from Fort Bragg. Then you drop down to Bodega. And there's even sometimes a difference between Bodega and the Bay Area, as close as they are. And then, of course, Monterey, with its protection from the northern edge of the bay, unless it's that real heavy north wind, you can always get out. So all these little microclimates along the coast, just because one is blown out doesn't mean a bunch of the others are blown out like they have been this week. But so that's good news for Fort Bragg, because Fort Bragg, you know, many, many years ago, and I'm talking, I'd say at least 20 or right around 20 years ago, you could count on excellent, excellent salmon fishing the month of July. The same for Bodega Bay. That was the month. And then as we got past that, the fish got fewer but a little bigger. Now, Fort Bragg, unlike Bodega, is farther away from major salmon spawning rivers. Now, they've got smaller rivers, I mean, Little River, Noyo River, that the steelhead go up in, but that doesn't happen until they get rains in the winter. So with the salmon, they want to enter the rivers in August and September. So the first major river to the north would be the Eel River, but that doesn't really get going. You know, that's got a later salmon run. So that takes it to the Klamath. So those fish in Fort Bragg have got a long ways to go if they're heading north to the Klamath or south to San Francisco Bay to come up to Sacramento. So that's why July is such a good month. But it hasn't been that way. Before that, you could count on it. Everybody got limits, blah, blah, blah. But it just has been up and down, mostly down, with a few days being a victory as far as being able to go out and get fish. And then the salmon would disappear, the water would clear up, and everybody would go rock fishing. So maybe this will be a good year for Fort Bragg. It sure is a lot of fun to fish out of there because you don't have to go far once you get out of that harbor. So now back down south to Monterey Bay. I talked to Chris Arcaleo yesterday, and he's experiencing the same thing with a little frustration. But, you know, even though they can't get out and the fishing isn't great, it is what it is for your information so you know before you make a commitment. Here's Chris. Chris, I know the wind has been plaguing you like everybody on the coast for, it seems like, this entire season, but have any boats been able to sneak out at all?
Well, no, we're going out. We've been fishing in the bay for salmon, and the rock cod trips, we've been sneaking close by too. I mean, we can't go out in the afternoons. The afternoons, we get a little break in the morning until about 1 o'clock, and then it starts, and you know, but every day is the same, miserable.
Yeah. So when the boats do go out for salmon, are they getting at least a few?
We are. Okay. Some days, yesterday we didn't get any, but what do we have, 8 or 9 the day before, and actually some of the boats yesterday over in the Soquel Hole did very well. We were on this side yesterday, and we didn't catch anything.
It's just strange how that works. I got to believe the wind also drives the salmon to a particular spot that the bait is easy pickings, that maybe we can figure, maybe we can't, but something's got to be going on there. So what's the forecast at Monterey for the winds?
Well, it's supposed to be okay the next 2 days, and then I don't know from there. I haven't looked ahead, but right now I'm looking out my window right now, and it's got to be blowing 30 knots, and you know, it's this way every day. We have a fantastic ocean right now, loaded with anchovies, and we have masses of baby bokkachis and chilies and things that have moved in, which is really good.
Yeah, and I know the bay is loaded with whales. Of course, the wind hampers that too, the whale watching.
Yeah, we haven't been able to get out in the afternoons at all. The mornings have been doable, but not good, but the afternoons are terrible.
That's Chris Arcaleo down at Chris's Sport Fishing. So everybody's suffering from the wind. And I'll tell you, it's, you know, as they say, the north wind blows against your skin. It kind of makes you a little irritable. Well, I can kind of feel that in some of these boys. They're getting a little tired of it. They know it does good for the ocean, but they're ready to have it sink and get out fishing. And Chris said it looks like they'll be able to get out at the beginning of the week. So give them a call, 831-375-5951. Okay, we'll be back right after this. Let's talk to the fish sniffers, Mr. Dan Bacher, and see what's up. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob. I got news from the legislature.
Okay.
There was a bill called 953, which would end all offshore drilling in California state waters. That's waters that are 3 miles and less from shore. And it failed to pass out of the Senate Appropriations Committee on May 19th. That was Thursday.
That's the California Senate?
Yeah. And so this was supported by a whole bunch of groups. I mean, a who's who of environmental and fish and community groups. And guess who led the opposition to the bill? Can you guess which organization and specifically who?
The Western States Petroleum.
Exactly. Okay, so this only happened in California, in the Green State.
Yeah.
Okay. the opposition to an offshore drilling ban bill was led by Catherine Rees Boyd, president of the Western States Petroleum Association, the same one who chaired the Marine Life Protection Act Initiative Blue Ribbon Task Force to create marine protected areas in Southern California.
Yeah.
She also served on the task force to create marine protected areas on the Central Coast, North Central Coast, and North Coast. Why is this important? And why do other reporters not cover it? Because this shows how corrupt California politics is from top to bottom. In other words, all these so-called environmentalists heralded these marine protected areas as the most open, transparent, and inclusive process in California history, and yet it was led by the exact same person that oversaw this campaign to stop a bill to ban offshore drilling in state waters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
well, let's face it, they just have too much money to give to politicians for the politicians to ignore them. It's just that simple.
Yeah, and that's exactly. And here's the statistics that I dug up. The Western States Petroleum Association has spent over $17.5 million lobbying the California legislature and other state officials over the past 3 years.
$17.5 million?
Yes.
Going into the pockets of the legislators.
Right. Well, for lobbying.
I got you.
I'm not even talking about the campaign finance, the campaign contributions, which is really obscene.
Yeah.
So the Appropriations Committee, several members of that committee, they receive big donations from the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah.
And in the first quarter of 2022, this lobbying spending spree continued, and WISPA dumped just under $1,952,000, to be exact, into lobbying. And they weren't even the biggest lobby, at least in last quarter. They are most years, the Western States Petroleum Association is the biggest lobby in California politics. They spend the most money each year. But in this quarter, other companies beat them out. Chevron, they spent even more than Western States Petroleum Association. They spent $1,016,000. And then another organization, Sempra Energy, they spent nearly $2 million. So it was $6 million total that was put into lobbying efforts to stop various bills, including this bill, in the first quarter. So I spent a lot of time digging it up. So I would just I want to share it on this program. You know, if anybody has any illusions that California is a green state, just need to look at the legislature, and you just need to look at all the fossil fuel money that they receive in lobbying and in campaign contributions.
I was just trying to look up something I saw a couple of months ago that in California there was, and I don't think this was too slanted, I recall thinking it was objective, and basically they took a vote on California's environmental status, and basically they said California fails in almost all areas, you know, when, you know, as being a green state. So,
and who was that?
I don't know. That's why I'm trying to look it up. But anyway, that was, if I find it, I'll send it to you. But I mean, that's coming from California. So, never mind this green state from Governor Brown or Governor Newsom. That's just a cover-up smoke screen that only the most dedicated, narrow-thinking people that live along the Southern California coast would ever believe.
Right. Kind of to wrap up, that this is the lobbying and the campaign spending are just two ways. The others are, number three would be, they have people from the oil industry and gas industry serve on regulatory panels. Number four, they create astro groups, fake groups, which Big Ag does.
Yeah.
And
and on, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good job, Dan. I appreciate that so much. I mean, we know it's there. It's been there for a long, long time. And no doubt it's going to be there. And it doesn't do the people of California any good, does it?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Dan Bacher, the Fish Sniffer. After the break, we are going to go and we are going to talk about Bullard's Bar Kokanee. And also where you can see a pretty doggone good recipe on how to smoke those kokanee. Stick around.